everyone. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm Joel Fragamini. I'm going to be your host, telling you what's happening this week at the Comedy Castle. And a fun week this week coming up. We got some special events. It's, of course, Dream Cruise week around here in Metro Detroit, in Royal Oak, Woodward Corridor, as they call it. So the shows are a little more limited, but still great shows. Our headliner, TJ Worry, this weekend talks to me on this show as well. We had a fun talk. It's a little different, but I think, really, really good. So let's get into what's going on this week. This coming up Sunday, the 13th, that's a Tuesday night, Detroit to L.A. at 7:30 p.m. That's the competition. People trying to win a trip to L.A. This is still the first round of that. So you're going to see some people that, you maybe haven't seen before. You want to see a whole bunch of new comics? I'm looking at the lineup of who's on it right there. I got a couple former students of mine, like Calvin Baker and Gunnar Whitley, who were in one of my recent classes. Those guys were a riot. Matt Kausert was also a student of mine, as was Janet Pound on that show. Heather Sanau, Arvin Sapra. It's a great lineup. It's going to be a heck of a show. And my former student, Sarah Lynn, is emceeing. So Sarah getting some work out of the club. That's how it goes. You take the advanced comedy class, which starts August 27th. Plug for that. And you could end up emceeing at the Comedy Castle. That's how it works. I teach you how to be an MC and work professionally. That's how we do it. And then Wednesday the 14th, a very special event with Steve Hofstetter. Steve's a guy that a lot of you know. His heckler, destroying heckler YouTube videos and social media have been seen by millions. And Steve's a pretty regular guest. Maybe once a year we get Steve to come in. So that'll be Wednesday the 14th at 7:30. I interviewed Steve last year. I had a nice talk with Steve. So if you want to hear a Steve Hofstetter interview, go over to ComedyCastlePodcast.com or search through your RSS feed. It should be up there, too, for Steve Hofstetter. I interviewed him. And then TJ Worry comes in this weekend, Thursday the 15th at 7:30 p.m. Then we've got a single show for you on Friday the 16th at 7:15. And then, of course, Dream Cruise Saturday, a single show at 7 o'clock with TJ. And some great comics opening. Dan DeCappa is supposed to be the feature that week. I haven't seen Dan in a while. He's one of the guys I started out with. We went to the same high school. I think I'm older than Dan. I was there a little before him. And I've got Genevieve Clinton listed. Look out. Former guest Genevieve Clinton will be there as well. Another hot talent in this comedy game. We love Genevieve. TJ's so great. Again, get to those shows. It's something to do. As I was telling you, you'll hear me. I don't know if we talked about it on the air or off the air, because that is the thing about TJ that I'll tell you is me and him like each other, and we have a good time talking, and we might have talked for 30 minutes off the air. I said, that's enough for the show, and rather than hanging up, we just kept talking. That's how guys do it when you like each other. Stay on the phone. We're old school. We talk on the phone. We're old school. You hear that, Gen Z? Pick up the phone. Call your friends. It's a cool thing to do. Enjoy yourself. Talking to a friend. Yeah. No DMs. None of that nonsense. No Snapchats. You pick up the phone and call. Of course, me picking up the phone and calling involved me producing a podcast. But it is what it is. I was cool with it, man. It's always good talking to TJ. So here's a couple things that we talked about on the show that you should look forward to hearing in this. He talks about his route to the Comedy Castle, growing up in Michigan, but not starting comedy in Michigan. He'll tell you that whole story. We'll learn how Dave Landau was involved with getting last week's headliner. Dave, we had a great week with Dave. But he'll tell you how Dave got TJ to the club and then where I get involved. It's a funny, kind of awkward story now, but we can all laugh about it. How I first met TJ at the Comedy Castle. You'll also hear about his sneaker collecting, which turned into collecting a whole bunch of other stuff. And we'll also talk about, I was not aware that he had produced some comedy festivals. He'll tell you some stories from that. It's just a lot of fun stuff. You know, I enjoy talking to TJ. And one thing that you're going to hear, and especially I think, stick around for the end of the interview because this sign off is just so funny. I'm trying to say, hey, let's wrap it up, you know. TJ feels like he's a really funny, salt-of-the-earth comedian, talks about his life, talks about his family, and in a real funny way, and just a great guy. You wish TJ was your neighbor. I wish TJ was my neighbor. I got a guy neighbor who wants to hang out with me, and I never hang out with the guy. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not the guy I want to hang out with. This guy's drunk all the time and come out to the pool, man. We're hanging out. No, I'm not doing that. Not hanging out with you. If TJ was there, I'd hang out with TJ, but he's not. This neighbor guy's no good. I don't know. But here's the thing. He's fine. I get along with him, but I'm not hanging out with him. But here's the point. TJ felt like he wasn't good on podcasts. And I was like, dude, you just got to do it. You just got to do it. Do your thing. And like I said to him, I said, boy, I think we hit our stride about 30 minutes in on this one. But you'll hear TJ's story. It's super fun. I got a real a soft spot in my heart for TJ Worry. And he's just had tons of success by just doing the work, doing the show, showing up, being funny. And being a good dude. So let's listen right now to TJ Worry, and we'll catch you afterwards. All right, here he is. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line here, we've got this weekend's headliner. Ladies and gentlemen, TJ Worry is on the phone. What's up, TJ?
Hey, what's up, Joel? Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. Excited to do this.
Is this your first headlining weekend at the Comedy Castle?
Yes, it is.
Dude, that's a big thrill for comics.
It could not possibly mean any more than it does to me. Yeah. I'm just beyond thrilled. I've thought about nothing else for the last year.
Because you grew up, or lived at least at one point in your life, very close to the Comedy Castle, in that proximity.
I grew up in Clawson, yeah. But I also lived in Madison Heights and Ferndale.
Oh, there you go. So you've been
248 to the bone.
There you go. Circling.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like, because I've known you for years now, you didn't really pursue comedy much in Detroit at all.
No, I was a professional hockey scout.
Okay.
When I lived in Detroit, I went to college for it. And, you know, that's what I did. And then my wife got a faculty job at Boise State, and there was no hockey to scout there. So I had to try something new. So I tried stand up. And here we are.
Yeah, one or the other. Those are the two options in life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Scout. Actually, I do know a college football scout. That's a college.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Alan Shrew out of Grand Rapids. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Alan Shrew.
Oh, you know him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Alan does football on the Big Ten Network.
I know exactly who that is. He does a great job.
Yeah, he's a great job. He's a funny comic. I haven't seen him do comedy in a minute, so I'm thinking the football thing's going well.
Oh, he did comedy. I didn't know that.
No, he's a stand-up comic. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You didn't know Alan was a comic? I knew him as a comic before I knew him as a football guy. And then I knew him as now I see him on TV. I don't know. We're friends on social media. What the hell? What do I know?
Yeah, he's a great follow on Twitter. I'm passionate about football, and I really respected him, and now he's a comic, too. That's great.
Well, let him know you're a comic. I talked to Joel the other day.
That's really cool.
He'll say, who's Joel? And you go, no, he's a guy. I haven't seen Alan in a while. He's a really super funny comic. But anyway, so you're doing, you decide to try stand-up comedy. And where does that take you? Where did you go? What cities were you working in? How'd you start out?
I started out in Boise, Idaho. They had a club there. And I went to the open mic, and I saw the comics. I'm like, I can do better than the worst comic I saw. And so then I tried it.
Yeah. It's funny. I was talking. I had an open mic with some of my students last night, and I told them that exact story. I go, you come to this place, New Way Bar in this case, and I go, yeah, you're going to feel like you're funnier than some of these people. There's less pressure.
That's exactly it.
That's it, man. And that's now exactly I know you've moved around, and you've been, you know, first of all, tell me about the Boise comedy scene. What goes on in Boise?
Ooh, not much. At one point, they had like about 35 comics and a club.
Yeah.
And it was it's what you'd expect from a very isolated comedy scene. Basically, there were two people that ever did anything outside of the city. And every, you know, they
the guarded local,
what they
local legends.
Exactly. They guarded what they had with everything they had. And, you know, yeah, it is what it is.
You needed the blessing. You need the blessing of that guy.
Yeah, exactly. I was very happy to leave.
Oh, did they give you to ever give you the blessing, or were you too new?
The headliners were great to me. They took me on the road. It was everyone else.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, yeah, I agree with that. That's not, that tracks. That tracks with how comedy works. It's the same in Boise. Okay. Smaller.
Yeah, Dave Landau headlined there one time. Okay. And ask him about it next time you see him. what he thought of Boise.
Well, Dave was just here.
I wish I could have seen that.
Well, you've seen it. We'll get to Dave in a second. But tell us then again. So from Boise, what happens then?
My wife took a job at Purdue. I mean, she was looking for a job, and you know, my mom was sick, and Purdue was as close as we could get to Detroit. So we lived in Lafayette for 8 years.
Nice. That's Lafayette. I've done comedy in Lafayette, Indiana. I've been to Purdue.
Oh yeah, where'd you do comedy?
It was a one nighter. Uh-huh. It was a one nighter. I want to say it was produced by Carol Pennington out of Cleveland.
Okay,
and that's the best I could tell you about it because it's been 15 years probably at least since I was there, so I couldn't.
It's
tell
probably
you.
Exactly how you remember it.
It was a college, you know, it was a bar, you know, on the strip of wherever, you know, you would know the street where all the bars are. And it was one of those. And, you know, we had like 30, 40 college kids in there for it. And that was the show. It was for, as a road gig goes, it was all right. You know,
that sounds pretty much exactly how it is.
Because it wasn't like those small towns where it's like, you know, everybody knows each other and, you know, the sheriff and the mayor are sitting there and, you know, they're all kind of making fun of you secretly.
Yeah,
that's how I felt about the road in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about here. That's every other town in Indiana.
We gotta run this boy back to Detroit.
Exactly.
That's what we're gonna do. We'll make sure he gets in his car and goes away after that. Talking that filth.
They'll follow you right out of town too.
They really will. It is. It's first blood. They got to get you right to the city limits. All right. So then you're there, and then I got to know you. Okay. So our story, if you remember how we met, right? The first time. Do you want to tell the story? Go ahead.
So Dave Landau, I had worked with him in Boise.
Yeah.
And he offered me a guest spot at the Castle. And so the night I showed up for my guest spot, you were also doing a guest spot. And I guess they didn't know that both of us were doing guest spots.
Yeah.
And I remember you just kind of looked at me like, this guy's going to do a guest spot.
That's exactly what I thought. here's the thing about that. Being on the staff of the Comedy Castle as I am, I don't really do guest spots. That's not a thing that I do. I know there are clubs where, you know, the door guy does comedy and he's always hopping on the show and he's real annoying and stuff. I'm not that guy. I happen to have family from out of town in town. And they said, can you possibly get on a show? We can see you. Like, I think my brother's wife had never seen me perform. And I go, I will ask Dave Landau's my friend. What's the worst that could happen? And then I go backstage and you're back there. And I felt horrible that I had to do that. Even though I think I remember we both had pretty good sets that night, but you know,
it was a great time.
You don't want to step on somebody's thing, and plus I'm like, you know, in the chubby white guy, I really feel for this guy. You know? Oh, we're gonna be doing the same jokes. This guy's gonna be. I think I went first. I think I at least gave you the honors.
Yes,
right?
I did. I gave you the honors going
later, but at the same time I'm kind of like, maybe I can't remember seeing this, but I'm like, maybe I should go first because I might have some might have some jokes he's got, and it's gonna make it harder for him if I'm, I don't know.
I remember when you found out that we were both having guest spots, you said, well, I've got family here, and I was like, man, I want him to do it. I had, like, it was my first time at the Castle, my first time performing in Detroit. So I had a ton of people there, and I was just hoping that we could both do it. And I'm super happy that it worked out.
And we did, and Dave was great for accommodating that for both of us. And of course, we became friends, but, you know, it's definitely a thing. Like, I kind of blew up this guy's spot, but at the same time, it ended up working out great.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I was super happy that we both got to do it.
And you now, starting from there, we both went on, and you are now headlining the Comedy Castle, and I'm hosting the podcast. So who won ultimately? Who ultimately is the winner right now? If you had to, if you had your scorecards out, it's all TJ.
You get to hang out at the castle all the time, though. I'm jealous of that. You get to teach the class. That sounds like so much fun.
I
do,
and I enjoy all of that, and I enjoy working the door at the club more than I enjoyed working on the road. I will tell you that 100%. I do miss working at the castle regularly. That's the thing I don't do as far as, on stage doing spots. I wish I could do more of that. Maybe I'll do more of that next year. I don't know.
Yeah, you should. It's my favorite place to perform. Of anywhere, it is by far my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, you've been through there so many times with so many different comics and always having a great set and stuff. And it's, I think you're just very relatable. I think people look at you and they go, look at this guy. He's just one of us, and he's funny, and he makes fun of himself a little bit, and he talks about his family, and it's all cool. It's a great little, you got a great vibe about you when you hit the stage.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
You know, like I don't think people ever look at you and go, who's this asshole?
Maybe the first time if they're about to do a guest spot.
Yeah, just in the green room before. But other than that, no, but I feel like that. When I hit the stage, sometimes I feel like an audience is like, all right, who's this dick? What the fuck is he doing? We didn't pay to see this. Get off of my stage. Get out of here. Bring on the headliner. Come on, get the fuck off the stage. You know, and then, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm confident because I know I'm going to be good and I've been watching the show, and that makes it feel like that. I mean, how do you feel before going on?
I mean, it depends on the room, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
I'm confident and nervous at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, I just... I really want the crowd to be happy, and I want to perform for them. And, you know, to me, it's a blessing to get to. So there's that too.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing about the Comedy Castle, and it's true of most comedy clubs, is that people have paid money to go in. They know what they're about to see. They know what it's going to be. And so many other places, it's maybe not like that, especially if it's a bar or restaurant that's just doing comedy for the one night a month or whatever. Or, you know, or people are there for somebody's birthday or something, and it's just, you know, ugh.
Yep, I know exactly. I always describe myself as a natural club comic. I'm still learning how to do bar shows.
Mm-hmm.
Look. Hit and miss, but
if you're lucky, you won't be doing. Yeah, the guys that are good don't do that many of them. You know what I mean? I mean, it's yeah. You start getting into that theater thing, and then it's like, all right, here we go. That's a good circuit. That's get on them theaters. But Landau was on those theaters. A lot of
He sure is.
Yeah.
He sure is. Good for him too.
Yeah. Although
he worked hard for it.
Yeah, I was talking to a headliner recently, and he walked off stage and he goes, "Nothing beats a comedy club." This is a guy who's done theaters. He goes, "You can do theaters and that's all right, but the audience is best at a club."
It sounds like Dave Attell.
That was It was Alonzo Bowden. I think it's the 9th.
Okay,
Alonzo Bowden. But I think I just default to Dave Attell, my voice. Jaded comedian voice. Oh, that's Dave Attell. Yeah, that's pretty much the same thing. Right out of Central Casting.
He's told me the same. I mean, you know, he could do theaters if he wanted
to. Absolutely,
but he just loves clubs.
He loves clubs. He told me that not only is it just about he loves being in a club, he doesn't want to do the travel, you know, because when you do theaters, the travel's way worse because you're going town to town every night.
Yeah. Yeah. I booked a festival in one of those towns that Brian Regan came through.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the
bus and everything.
Yeah, we like Brian. You know, Brian pops in the club when he's in town. Do you know that?
I've seen his picture on the wall. Yeah. I figured he might.
Yeah, he just kind of, I don't know if he's ever even performed. He likes to just come and watch. Like, he'll do his early show at the theater, and then he comes down and hangs out for the late show.
Yeah, we, so last I co-produced the Lafayette Comedy Festival last year.
Yeah,
he was our big headliner.
Right,
and I had a show that I had booked that same night, like a little bit later. And so as soon as he was done with his show, he came over and watched mine.
He's the best, man. Brian Regan's amazing.
To see the look on the headliner's face while he's on stage performing, and then Brian Regan comes and sits down with his sits down right underneath the one lamp in the room, so he can see Regan. Oh, reacting to all his material. Yeah, that must have been something.
Well, I mean, Brian Regan's a good guy, but I could see, as the, if you were a comic and you noticed him in the crowd, you'd be like, oh shit, Brian Regan's here. Fuck. Yeah, this is like the best guy, right? You know, like, I mean, because Brian Regan, I think if you ask comedians and you took a poll, like, I can't imagine a lot of guys rating higher than Brian Regan.
He seems to be pretty up there. It was a blessing to get him on our festival.
Good for you. Are you doing is show production and that kind of festival thing? Is that a thing you want to continue doing?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy festival production. This was my second one. Yeah. Oddly enough, the first one I co-produced was in Boise, Idaho. My co-producer, more than anything, wanted to get Brian Regan, but she couldn't afford him, so she got Dennis Regan.
Dennis has played our club. Dennis is all right. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, he's really, sure, he's really funny. Right. Well, I'm not. You know, I told Brian that story too. Because, you know, it's I don't know. It was just kind of full circle.
Sure. Well, when, did you have Chad Murray or Tony Rock or any of these Kevin Farley show up? Well, who else? Kevin Farley. I'm running out of famous brothers that do comedy, but
maybe Frank Stallone will take it up.
Frank Stallone. I don't know. Oh man, that's funny, Dennis. That's okay though. It's a name. It's a guy.
It was a great show.
Yeah.
They both sold out the biggest theater in town.
That's it. All right, so let's get into some other stuff here. You are known, and I've seen the photos, for having an amazing collection of sneakers. Tell us about it.
Yeah.
It's a way to sell tickets to the show, I think.
Yeah, well, if nothing else, I should have some heat on my feet.
Yeah, the sneaker game will be strong this weekend.
Yeah, so one of my good friends, Ed Hill, he's a comic based out of Vancouver.
I know Ed. Yeah, Ed comes to the club.
Yeah, he headlined the Castle a few years ago. I was working with him, and he said, you should start, you know, he's a sneakerhead. He was like, you should start collecting sneakers. And so I told my wife, she goes, yeah, you should. I'm like, okay. And so that's how it started. I now have 525 pairs of sneakers, and I have a room in my house that's just basically a giant sneaker closet.
Wow. Are those all Jordans?
I got a lot of Jordans, Nikes, Adidas. I'm like kind of a nerd about it. Like I like I have a pair of Pony City Wings from 1985, the kind that Spud Webb wore in the slam dunk contest. I have I like Puma suede. That's my favorite.
Okay.
So I have probably 150 pairs of Puma suede.
I've had Puma suede. Yeah.
Comfortable and classy, timeless.
Cool looking. That I found that the if they got rained on, it's not good.
Well, no, there's that. But
like I think
don't go outside.
I think the black suede ran into the white suede.
Oh yeah. Well, that'll happen on suede Jordans too.
All right, that's cool. Now, are you a person that like? Are you selling these? Is that a thing where like you're swapping, you're sort of selling one to buy two, anything like that going on?
I mean, basically everything I buy, I do to resell. I sell sports cards for a living. I have since the mid-90s. Yeah.
Well, I'm finding all kinds of things out about TJ today.
Yeah. Just, you know, everything I buy, I didn't grow up with money, so I always learned to, you know, try to find value. Yeah, and so I see what things sell for. And like, if I can get it for half that, then sure.
Right. You know? That's nice. I think at this point, this is probably lucrative thing right now.
Yeah. You it's but during COVID, it really blew up everything, both cards and shoes.
Yeah. So it could be Beanie Babies at one point, but maybe, I don't know.
Maybe
Beanie Babies will stir with money. I don't know.
No, I slung Beanie Babies back in the 90s. Yeah, anything.
Anything. It's all, everything must go. I can say I never really did that. Video games is a thing that I decided one day to just clear out the ones that weren't hooked up.
That's smart.
I did that. I just said all these like Super Nintendo carts and stuff. They're gone. And I got hundreds of dollars from my stuff, you know, hundreds of dollars. It wasn't, you know, the sale of the century, but it was good.
I'm so high, you know.
Sold the old ones to buy the new ones.
That's the way to go.
Kind of how it works. All right.
That's the way to go. Super Nintendo is a lot of fun.
Super Nintendo is a lot of fun, and I still have the Super Nintendo, although I don't think it hooks up to anything at this point. That's the thing, yeah. But here's what I do have. You tell me if this is worth money. Maybe you know better than me. I have most of my consoles with their original boxes.
Yeah, that's good.
So like an Xbox.
That's great.
I probably have like an original Xbox box and a PlayStation 2 with a box.
It's definitely worth a lot more money like that.
Interesting. All right. Maybe I'll get some tips from you.
When I was into video games, I was always into the kind of obscure systems. So I had I started on the internet on a Sega Saturn Netlink in like 1996.
Okay, there you go.
The TurboGrafx-16 was my favorite.
I had that. I still have that. I sold some of those too. I don't think I have some of the games from it.
That stuff sells for a lot now.
I sold those games, and they were worth good money. Yeah. Some of those sold for big. I mean, I would say probably, you know, they were all, you know, maybe less than 100, but more than 50 for some of those, which seemed
pretty
fair.
Good appreciation.
Yeah, I was fine with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad bought me a video game in 77. I think he brought home some Chinese Pong thing.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But I remember he bought it from a trunk of a car downtown.
That's where you get your best video game systems. Well,
back then, that was they weren't in stores really in that point. It was like pre Atari, and I had a
Magnavox Odyssey that I bought at the thrift store on like 11 Mile in right in Royal Oak.
Yeah,
bought it for like 20 and sold it for 200 on eBay.
I think there was a point those thrift stores didn't have the internet, right?
Yeah.
I think
they have it now.
They do now. Oh my God, damn. That I think the one that you're talking, maybe it's a different one. There's one on 4th Street by the club, like what you walk to, right?
Yes. Yep.
That place, that stuff is hundreds of dollars for just junk people donated.
Yeah, it's a racket, I guess. Like if it's a charity based thrift store, at least the money's going to charity. But boy, they know how to rake it.
Yeah, learn that. Not my business, but you're doing it. So is it a thing like I'm going to pop into this card store? I'm going to pop into wherever sneaker stores. Check this stuff out.
I check Facebook Marketplace to see if anybody's selling anything that I'm going to want to buy.
Yeah.
A lot of times my wife and dog will come with me on the road and I'll be doing a show and then she'll go to all the Myers. You know, we're looking for WNBA cards right now. So she'll go to all the different Myers and Walmarts and buy up the WNBA cards. Then we'll go to the hotel afterward and have a nice dinner and open packs of cards. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. I the only thing I have a question about in that scenario is why WNBA?
I'm sure everybody has probably seen like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are really blowing things up this year.
Yeah, I didn't even know. Oh, yeah.
And so like because nobody wanted WNBA cards before now, you know, you get them at a great price. They didn't make a whole lot. You know, it's one set per year, whereas NBA, there's what, like 30, 40, 50 sets. So it's underproduced. Perfect time to buy.
We're learning things on today's podcast.
Yeah, too. Although, you can make money on.
Maybe people will clear out the WNBA cards before you get into town, though.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. They're gonna have to be quick. They're gonna have to be quick because if they don't, I'll make sure they're all gone.
Okay, that's fair. That's it. That the challenge has been thrown down by TJ.
I'm well aware of where every Meyer in town is. I will be there.
What do you like coming home to in Detroit? What do you miss? What do you like? You get to Detroit and you're like, I got to go here.
Detroit, outside of anywhere in the U.S., Detroit is the best city for South Indian food. And so I will eat South Indian food every other meal when I'm in town.
Interesting.
I love Hungry Howie's. I know people have their opinions. I love Hungry Howie's. Yeah, I have to get that every single time.
Hungry Howie's. All right. That's fair. Hungry Howie's. Well, you don't get that everywhere, so.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
It's it, you know, if there's going to be one pizza chain that goes national from Detroit, it's a bummer that it's Little Caesars and not Hungry Howie's.
Yeah, I don't. Little Caesars is so not good.
It's a poor man's Hungry Howie's is what it is. Well,
I'm not sure for real. Hungry Howie's is a rich man. Little Caesars is that same logic there? I don't know. But like me and my fiance, we talk and we will talk ourselves into Little Caesars. We'll go, yeah, let's just get this. Look how cheap it is compared to whatever. And we talk ourselves into it. And yeah, we can get this and that. And well, you get your own and I'll get my own. It's so cheap. And we get it. And then like we eat it and we're like, let's not get that again. But we do it every time.
Why don't you just put some ketchup and cheese on a kitchen sponge and just get it over with?
You know, you try to say, hey, do you want to get, because like when me and my fiance get pizza, like it's $60.
Oh, geez.
Something like that. If it's being delivered, you know, it's not good. You go,
everything's expensive these days.
Yeah, we can get Little Caesar, $20. We'll be living high on the hog. And then you're like, oh, I feel like shit. Like, I feel like shit too. Get that anymore.
I haven't been hungry enough to eat Little Caesars in probably 20 years.
Don't do it. Don't do it when you get to Detroit. Don't do that at all.
I'm not going to waste a meal on Little Caesars.
Detroit style though, is that a thing? You like that? Is that your?
I do enjoy. So there's been a Jets the last couple of places we've lived, and it's probably Detroit style, probably 3 or 4 times a year.
There you
maybe
go.
Six times a year. Yeah.
There you go.
I love
that's,
it.
That's something.
It's just not good for you.
I know.
I'm fat enough as it is.
Yeah, that's true. But here's the thing that I hear now about Detroit style. The New York guys come in now and they're like, yeah, let's get Detroit style.
Yes. It's the best.
Which is something else, you know, like you wouldn't expect that. See these New York guys, you know, telling these guys they want the Detroit style.
Yeah, it's blown up in New York. Like you know, you see it everywhere.
Yeah, TJ Miller, big Detroit style fan, big buddies fan.
Another TJ who does stand up.
Another TJ does. Oh my! How dare you bring up another TJ? We talked about this before the interview. I am the only TJ that counts. Maybe they'll think it's TJ Miller. You know?
Come. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe
it's all right. It'll be.
Maybe I'll get a perm.
It'll be just as funny, just a little less crazy.
Maybe so. We'll see how crazy I am.
TJ Miller's a little crazy, if you didn't know that. I love the guy. Yeah. He's out there.
I get that impression.
Something's good. Well, I think they physically, I think he literally had part of his brain removed. TJ Miller.
Is that true?
That's literally true. I don't know what it was. I read it on Wikipedia. I didn't really bring it up to him when I interviewed him, but yeah.
He was great on Silicon Valley.
He's a funny dude. I like it. No Deadpool for TJ. He's not in Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
No, you haven't seen it.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Are you planning to see it? I mean, I would think knowing you and we're about the same age, so maybe that's your thing. But comic books, no.
Nah, I was into comic books a lot when I was a kid. And then I had a crush on a girl and she was like, oh, you read comic books. So why don't you play football or start smoking or something? Yeah. And so I stopped collecting comic books and I started playing football and smoking. And she still wasn't interested, but
that's great.
That's how I got out of comic books.
And so these Marvel movies and stuff come out. You don't give a shit. Is that
Marvel movies are, for me, Marvel movies are fantastic when you're flying somewhere and they have them on the little screen.
I saw somebody put that on Twitter. They're like, I've never wanted to watch a movie on a plane more than Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Exactly.
Wolverine. Yeah.
That's where I'll see it.
That's it. I believe me, I went to the, me and my fiance went to the Screen X. Do you know what that is? The Screen X? Basically, the walls of the theater are white, and they have two additional projectors that project onto the walls.
Oh, wow.
So the movie sort of wraps around on three sides of you, four portions of it anyway. And that's how we saw the Deadpool Wolverine movie.
It sounds like it would be very immersive or disorienting.
It's a little bit of both. I think the other thing is that the walls, like the image on the walls was way less bright. I think it was not as like the reflective surface of the screen was not the same on the walls. And so, you know, like the walls were a little dim. I don't know. It was cool. It was all right. We drove 40 minutes to the one theater that has that. I don't know that it was worth it, but we did it.
It was an experience, and you got to talk about
it's
it.
A thing
you know?
To do. It's a point on this podcast.
Yeah. I can
write that off my taxes. No.
Oh, now I'm curious. I don't see Oppenheimer on something like that. That sounds interesting.
It might be that they literally just opened the theater. You know, like they've been in other parts of the country, but the Michigan one opened like this summer, like a month ago or something. And then there was option. I said to my fiance, I said, let's go see Twisters in this crazy three screen theater. And she goes, no, I don't want to see Twisters. I want to see Deadpool and Wolverine. And I was like, all right. So that's what we did. No Twisters.
Oh, yeah. You probably made the right choice there.
You think so? People say Twisters.
I think so.
Good. I don't know.
Yeah, but a Marvel movie, and you know, that's the kind of thing you want to see in that kind of, I don't know.
I'd rather be in a tornado.
So a couple of years ago, I was visiting my sister in Waterford when the tornado came through as a direct hit.
Yeah.
And a tree fell on my car. So I'm kind of good on tornadoes. I've seen it in person, up close.
Okay, yeah.
It was terrifying.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's
car was destroyed. Huh?
We had a moonroof. It was a Lincoln Continental with a moonroof. And so the whole roof was glass, so it just got destroyed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you replace? I take it was totaled, right?
The roof needed to be replaced, but it's kind of hard to find the parts for that. So it took like 6 months. But we got through it.
Stay out of water. Yeah, the Screen X movie that I saw, that's in Waterford. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
There you go. There's the connection.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, if you're visiting,
such a small world.
If you're visiting your sister, you can go be in a fake tornado or whatever.
I would imagine that was terrifying for a lot of the people in the crowd then. Probably attendance wasn't great in Waterford.
They were all there for Deadpool, and there's 500. It was a tornado of jokes. Most of which didn't land, I didn't think, but some of them did. I really think that's the methodology. We're both comics, we can talk about this. They do a million jokes and like a third of them land, and of that third, probably 10 or 20% get an audible belly laugh.
That's right.
How it works. And it's not like we have this fewer jokes and they're all great. Nope. A million jokes, most of them don't land.
I had one of my first exposures. So the first time I ever went to watch stand-up comedy, my wife, just before we moved to Boise, my wife bought me tickets to go see Lisa Lampanelli at a casino in Windsor.
Okay, yeah.
And before that, my only exposure to stand-up comedy was I took a girl out on a first date. She really wanted to see Kings of Comedy, so we watched it in the theater in Southfield.
Okay.
And the crowd made it just twice as good. Like the people were just, it was like twice as good as just the Kings of Comedy.
Imagine,
it was one of the most enjoyable experiences of my life.
Okay.
It's like, I'll never be this good,
Yeah, right. So, and then how was Lisa Lampanelli? Was good for you? That was a fun thing.
Yeah, it was a really good show.
Yeah, she was really out there show. For a while. I don't know if she does anymore.
Yeah.
Lisa should come back. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought she was great. It was really funny.
Never seen her, but I'd like to. All right. See, Ted, you said just a couple minutes ago, we'll get out of here on this. You started smoking cigarettes playing football. I know this from you. You've talked about it in your act, but you had a gang in high school. You were part of a gang. Tell everybody about it.
We decided to start a gang. What happened was there was a kid that had just moved to town from another neighborhood, and he started selling weed to one of the football players. And one of my friends was the one who sold weed to the football players. And so that made us mad.
Okay.
Just right off rip. And then he started wearing blue and said he was from some gang wherever he lived before. And he started trying to recruit one of my buddy's little brother into the gang. And so we're like, no, we're going to start a gang. We're going to get rid of this kid. So that's what happened. We started a gang, and then one of my friends, you know, my half of us were potheads, and you know, it was just to have a gang, and the other half were people that like to fight, the drinkers that like to fight. And they're like, oh, if we're in a gang, that means we get to fight other gangs. And so
I would think so.
That's what we just go different places and start fights with people downtown Royal Oak all the time. All the time.
Wow.
And then this one.
What was the name of the gang?
Z7, the Zephyr 7.
Z7. All right. Yeah. Okay. And then, what happened with Z7? What was there any, what was the most exciting thing that happened?
Probably the most exciting thing. We were at the Oakland Mall, and one of my buddies notices there was the two guys. One of them was hitting on his girlfriend, and he wanted me to confront the guy and try to get the guy to punch me. It was kind of what I did. I was the one that
instigator
talked the shit to get the other person to throw the punch, and so that's what I did. And then they beat the shit out of him, and then. You know, a couple of weeks later, we were leaving an insane clown posse. I'm sure you've heard of them.
Yeah, I'm aware.
we were leaving an insane clown posse concert. My buddy said, hey, they're going to do an autograph signing at Flipside Records. I don't know if you've ever been there.
Yeah, I remember.
In Clawson.
Is that still there? Maybe. That might be.
I think it's in Berkeley now.
Oh, okay. Fair.
They moved to Berkeley. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So they were going to do an autograph signing. And so we went to go get their autographs. And then we got kicked out because apparently it was the insane clown posse that we had beaten the shit out of at the Oakland Mall. And we just didn't know because they weren't wearing their face paint.
Oh, my God. So you essentially, they're the gang that was ICP, who've always said that they're not a gang. They were a gang then, and you fought them.
They were a gang. They used to be the Inner City Posse.
Inner City Posse, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah. My friends listen to all, you know, like I remember the Dog Beats.
Yeah,
know?
That was the thing. So this is like 95 or something, 94.
Yeah, this was, real early.
Real early. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, everything's come full circle, my friend.
Yeah.
Because Insane Clown Posse, Violent J, the leader of the Insane Clown Posse, was at the show a couple weeks ago for Sam
Talent.
That's
great.
Yeah, he was sitting right back there. No face paint, nothing.
What an appropriate name, too, Sam Talent. That guy is hilarious.
Sam Talent is great. Do you know about Sam Talent? Sam Talent is a Detroiter now?
Is he?
He is. He has moved to Detroit. Really? His wife is from Detroit, and he's moved here.
That's fantastic. What a good choice for him. Yeah,
Sam. So the story with Sam, and you know this, Sam really wanted to play the Gathering of the Juggalos. And since I'm a guy that's been working at the Gathering of the Juggalos for 20 years, that was the connection. That's why Violent J ended up there. They needed to check him out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
That's
awesome. I think that's going to be next year, Sam Taylor
at
the Gathering.
That's awesome.
I mean, I'd love to have you at the Gathering if we make that happen. I don't know if I don't think they recognize you. The guy from the Oakland Mall 35 years ago, whatever it is now, but maybe.
I think their gang's probably a little bigger than mine is now.
Gang. Well, look, I'm in the gang, so really, what do you got to worry about, you know? That's great, though, man, to have a story
that's
like
awesome.
That, man. You know, it's like an insane
that's thing. Awesome.
To get beat up. That's fun. I mean, look, I'm not, I don't encourage kids to fight and stuff, but hey, if you get a story like that out of it, hey, it's fun, man.
It's an enjoyable thing to get to tell on stage.
and it plays in Detroit, but other places, do they care?
It does. Yeah, it does. People like it everywhere. The Insane Clown Posse is big everywhere.
It's universal.
Yeah. They were very successful. Like their marketing was just fantastic. In BFE, Idaho, and I'd see the Psychopathic Records sticker on the back of somebody's car. Like everybody knows it.
That's it. Yeah. Idaho, that's Juggalo territory right there.
Yeah.
Idaho, all those places out there.
Whenever I start telling it, I hear someone will go whoop, whoop. everywhere I go.
Well, TJ, I'm looking forward to the weekend, man. Great talking to you and catching up and,
Great talking to you, too. Thank you for having me on. I could not be more excited for this week. Yeah. I hope everybody comes out.
It's going to be a great time. Everyone come out to TJ. It's Dream Cruise weekend, so there's fewer shows, but that still, it'd be bigger shows, maybe.
Hopefully so.
Yeah, that's the plan.
I am not excited for the Dream Cruise, but I'm super excited for that.
Well, I think the Dream Cruise is less than it used to be. It's not maybe quite the thing. Like, it was huge for a while, and now it's more like they manage it better, and, you know, so don't be afraid to come to the club.
I used to deliver pizzas on, work with the Domino's on Woodward. Like, and we had to work the Dream Cruise. And so trying to deliver pizzas where you have to cross Woodward for all your deliveries.
Yeah.
That kind of turned me off on the Dream Cruise.
Brutal. Well, listen, you're going to be there. You're going to be having a great time. It's going to be a fun weekend. Thanks so much for talking, TJ.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
We'll catch you this weekend.
All right. Take care. So awkward.
It's good. It's all good, brother. You did it. You did it. You did the thing. Yeah, that was what an awkward ending. I get that. We just couldn't say goodbye. And like I said, we did talk for 20, 30 minutes after. And I don't think that's for the air, as they say. We might have talked a little shop, did a little gossip, a little comedy goss. But I enjoyed that. That ICP story is so funny, man. I mean, unbelievable. Million years ago now, but still. Still funny, and to think of when you meet him, you see his picture. If you go to, you know, Comedy Castle website or Comedy Castle podcast, take a picture of him. You wouldn't think this is a gang member from the 90s. You guys are going to have a great time. Come on out for TJ this weekend. It's going to be a tremendous time. He's really funny. It's his headlining debut. He's open for so many people at our club. I mean, we were talking, you know, he's in, you know, Michael Longfellow, and I think he's open for Attell at our club, and maybe Fortune Feimster. I know he opened for it somewhere. But just an unbelievable lineup of people that know and respect TJ, and you will too after this weekend. All right, so come on out. And CTJ, last thing I'm going to do here is just plug our comedy classes again. We've got a great beginner class with Bill Bouchard. That one starts up every 5-6 weeks. And then I'm doing the next advanced comedy class starting on September 7th. September 7th. That's the important date there. I might have said August 27th earlier. That is not the start date. That is the that is the showcase for the next, for the current advanced comedy class, September 7th, come on out, the advanced comedy class. If you got a little experience or you did the 101 class, I can't wait to teach you about comedy and get you working and get you on stage, that whole thing. And hey, what can I say? Dream Cruise weekend, try to enjoy it. I live right off the thing, and you know what? It doesn't bother me as much as it used to. So please try to enjoy it. Get out to the Comedy Castle, and we'll catch you next week, everybody. How's that? All right? There you go. Go see TJ. You'll love him. I love him. You'll love him. Go see TJ. Take care, guys.